Homer described the sea as wine dark, so I'm going to choose to believe that blue isn't a real color because I can't see it all the time.
This is just a PSA from Genre Blind. Don't kidnap kids on trains. You might want to, but you gotta feed them eventually.
His little booty gets stuck.
No!
Sorry, I yelled and maxed out my mic.
But I don't want to clean the chimney today, Mummy.
I better come and get your bones.
A musical.
We're about to be inseparable for the next few minutes, so, you know, fast forward if you don't like fun.
Good evening to only those who know that Charles Manson was only 5'5".
Welcome to Dolphin Blind, a podcast where we break down the cliches that make pop culture peachy keen, Jellybean.
Every episode, we use the random trope feature on TV Tropes to spark discussions about the media therein.
You are contractually obligated to phrase all questions or comments in the form of a compliment. This is a swimming podcast. We both have degrees, and you're just going to have to trust us on this. His human name is Diggs Brown.
And her human name is Annalie Tominelli, and this is Dolphin Blind, now sponsored by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Programming note, we're just here to, you know, make you love tropes and make you appreciate dolphins!
Appreciate dolphins! You know
Yay,
what?
Yay, dolphins!
We got a lot of concern last time, and we just want to put all of your fears and worries to rest. We're happy about this now. We're happy
about... We love dolphins and having them here supporting us.
Supporting us. Supporting us.
Supporting us.
With a smile! Everything's fine.
I like it here and I feel safe.
We are safe. We are fine and everything is good.
Everything is so cool and good that we're going to be starting this episode with an email.
An email?
We got an email from a listener named Katie who they were recommended this podcast by his friend Aaron. So word of mouth. Excellent. We love it. We love to see it. And in the email, a lot of hailing of dolphins. Very much appreciated.
Very
the
much appreciated.
Our friends, the dolphins, really, really liked it.
Yes. Yes.
So,
we were very pleased that they were on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
It was one of the best, most positive dolphin emails I've ever seen.
But this email itself was wonderful. It had lots of very excellent details in it that we appreciated.
That we very much appreciated, and we saw them all.
We saw them all. Katie has asked that we talk about the musical episode.
The musical episode! Oh my goodness.
So this is just gonna be a content warning. We were both theater kids in high school.
It's a musical episode. A Dolphin Blind musical episode.
A musical, because nothing's as amazing as a musical.
With song and dance and sweet romance. All right.
Okay, should we get obvious out of the way first?
Well, let's talk about, for those who may not be familiar with the enchanting musical episode, what is a musical episode?
A musical episode is when a TV show or another thing like that's episodic, or with movies it would be like a sequel or something like that, that is not usually a musical, has an episode where suddenly it is a musical. Sometimes this is done through like magic, like a wizard has put a spell and now everyone is singing. Sometimes it's just never explained. Sometimes it's a dream. Sometimes
they are performing a musical in the show.
Yes.
And so it gives all of the characters an excuse to sing.
An excuse to sing and dance. And sweet romance.
And happy endings happening by happenstance. I hope that, just a real quick, heads up, we're about to be inseparable for the next few minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, fast forward if you don't like fun.
If you don't like us singing. I am going to say my fun fact now.
Yes, please.
Everyone credits Joss Whedon's Buffy the Vampire Slayer with the first ever musical episode. This is inaccurate.
Ooh.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer popularized the musical episode, but its origin was on the Super Mario Brothers TV show.
Oh, man.
And so now I have given you this wisdom to bring to your friends.
Yeah.
And you should follow it up with, it wasn't Kool-Aid in Jonestown, it was Flavor-Aid.
Also, hot air doesn't rise, cool air just sinks to the bottom. But nobody likes to be that person at the party. Gravity acts on cold air and pulls it down. It's not hot air rising. You know what I mean?
Particles move from areas of high pressure to areas of low pressure.
Yeah, everybody's like, hot air rises, and you want to be like, No, hot air doesn't rise. Cool air just sinks, you dumb, 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 dumb dummies. And then you throttle your friends. And then that's it. That's it.
Yes.
And then you're down one friend. But you know what?
But it's worth it.
But it's worth it in the end.
And you were proven correct.
You're proven correct. But, popularized.
Musical episodes are my favorite goddamn part of TV shows aside from Halloween episodes.
Oh, Halloween episodes are great.
They're so good.
Also, Christmas episodes are great.
Oh, yes. Holiday episodes where they commit. Like, yeah. 30 Rock used to do really big Leap Day episodes.
Oh, no way.
In the universe of 30 Rock, Leap Day is like a big holiday. With like a whole like character like for it, like a Santa Claus type character who was played by Jim Carrey.
Oh, that is so good. My friend, speaking of like wacky holidays, celebrated Groundhog's Day like nobody's business. Like they would have a whole hog feast and like word searches and everything like that. So I love it when people go really hard on, like, a very obscure holiday.
Just a mundane, like...
Yeah.
Nonsense holiday. Flag Day.
Yeah, like, exactly. Exactly. Or, like, how you really celebrate, Titanic Week.
Yes, yes. Titanic Week's a blast every year.
So, one of my favorite examples of a musical episode is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Where, and this is one of the examples where a character writes a musical, so it isn't, what is it?
Diegetic and non-diegetic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, this is all diegetic.
He writes a musical. It's kind of a convoluted plot to get somebody into a theater so that he can propose to her. But
right.
She hates him, so it doesn't work out. But the whole thing is such an elaborate, amazing, like, entertaining musical. If you've ever heard of Day Man, Fighter of the Night Man,
This is the same way that the excellent no problems television show Supernatural has its musical episode.
Wait a second. What season did this happen in?
Season 10.
Okay, so fan fiction.
They're doing, the title of the episode is fan fiction. So.
Wait, I think I might have seen this one. Is this where they go to like a high school and people are putting on a musical of their life?
About Supernatural, yeah.
Oh,
and the two girls playing Dean and Cass are dating in real life.
That's what I thought! I watched that episode!
We have to hear Jared Padalecki say Destiel and say, shouldn't it be Destiel?
Oh my god, see?
But we do get to see Dean absolutely rocking the fuck out to a song about him. His mom dying.
Oh my god. It's one of those things where that show is on too long. It reached self-awareness, and you can't let that happen.
Yeah. Hey, there's an episode of Supernatural where they talk about Fortnite, and I just wanted you to know that.
I can't believe that, because when this show started, cell phones didn't even exist.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of did, but like hardly.
They kind of did. The iPad hadn't come out yet.
No. See, it's weird.
Yeah, we were in like the iPod used the headphones to advertise era. Yeah.
Wowza. That show is old. Are we old?
It's old as hell. Well, okay, it came out the same year that Doctor Who started over again.
Oh man, what a powerful year that was. See, I feel like these references are old, but also, I mean, speaking of...
Old as hell references,
Doctor Who has musical episodes, don't they?
They do in radio plays.
Radio plays, yes.
See, people can sing in radio, radio.
People
it's
can.
Fine.
Oh man, I'm looking at this. Like, remember in Arthur, the "Cause I was Jekyll, Jekyll, Hyde, Jekyll, Hyde, Hyde, Jekyll,
Hyde, Jekyll,
Jekyll, Hyde, Jekyll, Hyde,
Jekyll, Hyde."
Wow. Yeah. It's such a fun excuse to hear your favorite characters just go bananas.
It is, and I actually did like a whole. I won a contest for like a little video essay I put together about the musical episode in Buffy, and about Once More with Feeling, about how it is my favorite episode of television, period.
Oh,
because
man.
Of how much of a deep dive it goes into all of the characters in a way that, like, you wouldn't normally be able to. Because, you know, characters in shows do not stand and direct address the camera and be like, this is how I am feeling.
Yeah,
and they were at an arc. Spoilers for season 6 of Buffy, I guess.
Oh,
we are at a point where all of the characters are going through the most intense shit they've ever gone through. And a lot of it is such that, like, they wouldn't have been able to sort through it. Like, they wouldn't, nothing would have compelled them to talk to each other about it or actually voice it or deal with it, except for being forced to sing their thoughts. So, like, they literally use this episode to put on the line the fact that Xander and Anya are terrified to get married to each other, to the point that they almost don't want to put into light the fact that Willow has been lying and erasing her girlfriend's memory, the fact that Giles wants to leave because he thinks Buffy is too dependent on him, the fact that Spike is in love with Buffy and, like, is dying over it and, like, can't, you know, process that, and that Buffy herself got ripped out of heaven by her friends and forced to come back to Earth, where she is completely hollow and knows that she will not be allowed back into heaven. And in the course of one episode, they address all of this, and then we get a Spuffy kiss.
I feel like musicals are so underrated for the amount of storytelling that can happen even in the orchestral background, or whether, you know, notes go up or down, or leitmotifs throughout
piece. Leitmotifs.
The soliloquy is such a, you know, you don't get to see it that often in TV because it's almost always clunky unless you're an omniscient narrator voicing the thoughts of the characters.
Yeah, or like telenovela style.
Right.
This is just a side tangent. So obviously a show like Glee doesn't count for this because it's, you know, the whole thing is a musical.
Or like Phineas and Ferb, kind of.
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb kind of doesn't count because it's kind of a musical, whatever. Yeah,
there's like a song per episode.
The show The Flash had a crossover with Supergirl, and in that, like, they had like a musical episode. But the villain for it was played by Darren Criss, and he is the one making everyone sing.
Which, man,
I think is a power he has in real life.
Oh, man.
He played the Music Meister, and he just showed up and was like, aha!
Wait, the Music Meister?
Yes! What?
I love it when characters are kind of aware that they're singing, and they're like, why is everybody singing? What is that? The person who hates musicals? Favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, my favorite, like, onstage musical is The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals, Starkids, which is a alien landing on Earth starts, like, zombie affecting people with musicals.
Right.
It is actually, like, well done horror comedy.
Yeah.
Like, they use the horror of that.
Yeah.
And it's very cool.
And
the one of the girls from it, Mariah Hope Faith, she is playing Regina George on Broadway now.
That's another thing. Like, you don't realize, like, the singing chops that a lot of these actors have.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh my god, just to bring it back to Giles, is also in Repo the Genetic Opera, howdy, can
Anthony
he sing.
Anthony Stewart Head.
Oh my god, he's got pipes.
He can sing. He does. Same with James Marsters.
Yeah. I also just need to, like, throw in the obligatory during, I believe it's The Magicians, they sing Under Pressure. I've never seen it, but my uncle always shows me that specific clip.
Riverdale has a couple musical episodes.
Amazing. See,
all of them are
I love
awful.
How it's kind of a tradition.
It is.
To the point where, you know, Over the Garden Wall, which is one of my favorite miniseries of all time, has the songs from The Dark Lantern, which is where, you know, just everybody is at this tavern singing who they are. And it's great. Yeah. And it's very odd to the main characters. Again, like diegetic versus non-diegetic.
Yeah, they're aware it's happening.
They're aware that it's happening.
I was shocked that She-Ra never had a musical episode.
Oh my god, for real.
Because Noelle Stevenson even was like, I love musical episodes.
Oh my god, right?
I wonder if she pitched one and then, like,
they said no. Movies will also, which is why, speaking of Western cartoons, Steven Universe has the Steven Universe movie, which is just song after song after song after song after song.
And they're all good.
And they're all awesome. Like, a lot of times, like, a TV show will use its movie as its kind of musical episode. SpongeBob mm-hmm. does this.
Now That We're Men.
Yeah. Oh, God, the SpongeBob movie. Oh, my God, the Goofy Goober.
With David Hasselhoff.
Who could forget?
Who is also in one of the Taron Zidnich projects.
What?
He's in Alleluia, the Devil's Carnival.
Who does he play in that?
Oh, God, I don't remember the character's name. He's the one who maintains the seven horses in Aesop's Fables.
Oh, my God. That's rad.
And Paul Sorvino plays God.
Oh, yes, he plays God. We're big fans of the musical episode. It's always
musicals.
So good.
With movies, sometimes it's with sequels. So mm-hmm. Land Before Time.
What? Oh my God.
There are 14 Land Before Time movies, and the first one is the only one that's not.
Oh my God, they really said we're doing this right from here on out.
Yeah.
Listen, that was fun, but what if?
Yeah. Cool. Have you considered?
And it should be noted that this is not just having a soundtrack that slaps. This is like,
no.
The characters are singing now.
The characters gotta sing. Like, that's why I draw issue with some movies that are like considered musicals, but it's just kind of like songs happen and then plot happens around them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a thing. That happens in another Star Kid show, but Annie is almost like that. It's not...
Yeah.
Everything is kind of like, it pulls you out again, and then like, it's like, we're gonna sing a song, and then puts you back in.
Right.
And I would be, before we move on from musical episode, I would be remiss to not shout out Night Vale the Musical by Aaron Pataa.
Oh, man.
Which is a fan fiction.
Oh, man.
It is a written musical on Archive of Our Own.
Wow. Fanfic is no joke. It's really such a creative engine of the internet that is not treated right.
Oh, I love fanfiction. Also, again, remiss to not mention the King Falls AM musical episode.
Whoa.
That was well fun. Fucking done.
When are we gonna do a musical episode, Diggs? When?
I can't write music.
Neither can I. Oh, I wish that I could.
Dear listeners, are you a composer?
Be our friend and write for us instead.
Be our guest, put our service to the test.
I feel like thoughts are sometimes just so naturally given. Through song.
We gonna sing, we gonna dance, after all, this is fun.
That does not count as a musical episode. Want to know what also doesn't count as a musical episode?
What?
Moulin Rouge, which is, you know,
a jukebox musical
that Diggs has never seen despite being my friend for 8 goddamn motherfucking years of my life.
Fuck, has it been 8 years?
Diggs, it's been a long goddamn time. I don't
Gross.
Know. I know, yeah. Right?
Would you, listeners, would you believe that we met in an anatomy class?
Sorry, I yelled at Max at my mic. Oh, man. Are you kidding? That's the most appropriate place for us to have met.
Oh,
Diggs, you can't keep moaning whatever we want.
I'm not moaning. I just breathed out. I made a dad noise. Today on the train, a child just grabbed me. And the mom looked at me to be like, I'm sorry. And then she tried to, like, pull the baby off, and the baby wouldn't let go. So I'm like, well, this is how my train ride's going.
And you said, mine now, come along to Neverland.
Well, I didn't say that.
Yeah, don't kidnap kids on trains. This is just a PSA from Genre Blind. Don't kidnap kids on trains. You might want to, but you gotta, you know, feed them eventually. Too.
Every time you consider kidnapping a child on a train, instead go outside and try and seize a pigeon.
Just try and snatch a pigeon.
If you succeed, that's your fucking problem. And if you miss, hopefully you got it out of your system.
Real quick, fun pigeon fact, fun pigeon fact, fun pigeon fact, fun pigeon fact. So, pigeons, they... Pigeons, they look like they're walking like total dumbasses in that they wobble their head forward and backwards. And people think maybe it's for balance. It's actually not for balance. It is because their eyes are slower than their walking pace. So they need to kind of forward spot like how a ballerina do. And it's rock and roll and rad. It's like how you're on a roller coaster and things will start to blur, but that's a pigeon's life 25/8, you know? And I learned this in the book.
I love that pigeons have more days a week than us. It's
Oh, it's, well, obviously they do.
Yeah.
They've got more hours in a day and more days in a week.
They have business to attend to.
They've got extra pigeon business. That last hour and day is just like a rave, a pigeon rave. We're not invited to it.
It's their musical episode.
It's their... For the 7 days a week, pigeons do normal things. On the eighth day, they do a musical episode.
Well, that's, and the extra hour on those days is rehearsal.
Because they gotta, you know? They gotta get that box step in. Especially because their eyes work so bad.
I'm imagining a pigeon doing a box step.
And you're happy about it, right? It's a good
it's
image.
Really good. It's good really image. Nice. But not as good as a dolphin doing a box step.
But not, yes, a dolphin doing a box step would be significantly more interesting.
And more impressive.
And more impressive. Sexier, too, I think.
Sexier. Very sexy. Perfectly smooth. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, dolphins sing all the time, so their whole life
constantly
is a beautiful musical episode.
This trope is both,
this trope is both of us. Absolutely.
Yeah
this is, but we're two halves of the musical episode, I feel like.
Yeah. One of us has to start singing first for the other one to be like, what the fuck is this? Do you expect me to sing about her? Don't care about her. It's just a little makeup. Draco, wake up. I'm mistaken.
The thing is, the most kind of tragic thing about quarantine is that because we aren't in person, there's always an audio lag. So we can't sing in unison very often. And I miss it, Diggs.
I miss it too. Yeah, the impromptu... time to sing the entirety of Little Priest.
Oh my God. One time we did sing Hamilton on a boat.
We did do that.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Just rowing around. And not just, you also told me the entire plot of Repo the Genetic Opera. So.
I did do that. And I probably sang part of it.
Oh my God, absolutely.
To illustrate a point.
But hey, sold, and now I love the movie, so.
Hey.
It was my fare for rowing for a bit of a time. Mm. A deal, if you will.
Well, I wish you hadn't.
Anyway.
Anyway, speaking of deals.
The dolphins have been so generous and kind to
sponsor season two.
Thank you, dolphins, on behalf
of
everybody at Genre Blind.
Everybody say thank you, dolphins.
Say it out loud. If you're in your home, say it. Please say it out loud. We need you to say it
Hail
out loud.
Hail Delphinidae.
Hail Delphinidae. Okay.
Thank you.
So now it's time for your daily dolphin fact. So, dolphins were actually used during...
Thank you for those dolphin facts, Annalie. I love
no
dolphins
problem.
Just the same amount that I love the U.S. Navy.
Equal in majesty.
Yes.
Anyway.
So the next trope is pink girl, blue boy.
Pink girl, blue boy.
The main dichotomy of it is like boys and girls get color coded as like blue and pink.
Cool gender reveal.
Cool gender stuff. But then also a lot of times when there is like a duo in like a show that's like boys and girls, they will color them that way just like for simplistic like cartoon character design.
Right.
So that's part of it. This also happens if it's like a team of two girls. One will be pink and one will be purple. And then usually that one will be a little more like goth or tomboy or something like that.
Okay.
So yeah. And it happens also in when it's two boys, it's usually like BL anime and stuff like that. And so the more passive partner will say is usually pink coded. So right off the bat, Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
I was about to say Shark Boy and Lava Girl. Easy.
Kings and queens of this.
Blue's Clues, you know, blue is blue and, you know, magenta
is
pink. Oh, you're so fucking right. Oh my God.
But magenta is not pink. Magenta is purple, yes?
No, magenta is pink, I think.
Isn't magenta a purple color?
No, Diggs, this might be your colorblind talking.
No, I mean like the name, like magenta, the color, is purple.
No, Diggs, this is a pink color. Magenta
what?
Is pink.
Magenta is purple.
Diggs, you really caught me off guard. Let's talk about this for a moment, Diggs.
No, wait,
I want
hold
you
on.
To pull up the color magenta for me, please.
Okay. Should I put on my glasses so that
yes, please,
yellow into things? Okay, well, okay, I pulled up the color magenta, and about half of these are red. And they, okay, I'm seeing many colors right now. There are some on here that it's like a violent pink, and that's, I can see pink, and that's not, like, that's just hot pink. And then there's also a bunch on here that are red, and then the ones that actually I would call magenta are purple.
For, like, for
there,
sure.
Wait, and there are, like, there are wines that are, like, magenta colored.
What kind of wine? Are you talking about, like, a rosé, which is also pink?
Rosé is
Are you
pink.
Talking about red wine, which is red?
There are some red wines that are magenta.
I've never had a magenta red wine, but I don't know what you've been drinking. So...
Wait, let me pull
this
up the dog.
This is so good. Okay, okay.
Let me pull
Here's
up.
Here's the thing.
I got, okay, I have color
shift
on.
You are correct
on.
In that there are variations on magenta. It isn't the kind of reddish
hue. Magenta the dog isn't magenta.
Okay, okay, magenta the dog is a pink dog, Diggs.
Just
I don't
like,
know
yeah,
to
magenta
tell
the dog is just straight up and down pink. Magenta's not magenta.
Yeah, okay, 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 okay. So you are correct in that there are different hues of magenta. Like how there are different hues of blue, there are different hues of, like, you know, red, orange, all of them. There's a whole big, you know, color spectrum.
Yes.
However, generally, when people think magenta,
they
it's
think purple and red.
No, well, no. What do you think pink is, Diggs?
Pink
I
is
gotta
just,
know.
Pink is just light red.
Well, not necessarily, because light red, there's, like, you know, different variations. It's like saturation.
Yeah.
Like how.
I'm just like, talking about
how
like
stanky
how light,
the color
how
is.
Light blue. We don't call light blue something different than blue.
We do. Like we just call it like light. Cyan.
Okay, no. Cyan, teal, turquoise, indigo. Those are not colors. They're not.
Except for indigo and cyan are two dynamically different colors, so we just culturally call it blue, and that's just like the general, you know.
Yeah, but like
but
indigo
why?
Is not its own thing. Indigo is just.
Indigo is. Okay, what the hell do you think Roji Bev is, Diggs? What do you think
I
the colors of the rainbow?
I know what the words are. Red,
yeah.
Orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, indigo, violet. But indigo
Diggs,
is
what?
Just.
Wait a second. Tell me the colors of the rainbow one more time.
Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo. Wait, where's purple?
Here's the thing. This is where your snag is, I think.
Roji Biv.
You said red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, indigo, violet.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Diggs, so it goes red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Blue is cyan. Indigo is like the color of blue jeans or like, you know,
which
kind of a
blue.
More, is kind of like a more dark purpley sort of, you know, rich,
you,
dark
blue.
Navy
jeans
blue.
Are blue. And navy
yeah, no,
blue
sure.
Is blue and sometimes not, but mostly it's
but,
blue.
But that's the thing. We decided like as a culture that blue didn't really sum up the whole spectrum that blue could be. Cause like, you know, cyan and then indigo are two dynamically different colors.
Homer
despite
never
the fact
used
that they're
the
both
word
blue.
Blue. Homer described the sea as wine dark. So I'm going to choose to believe that blue isn't a real color because I can't see it all the time.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. And then violet. Violet is a, it's the purple that we think of.
So,
it's like,
okay.
It's like purpley purple, like the color of a mountain violet.
I'm
but
reading an
indigo,
article called Magenta Doesn't Exist.
Well, nothing exists. Colors don't exist. Colors are a cultural category, you know, if you're reading, you know,
wait,
fucking
no, but
Foucault,
I'm actually
then
reading a thing about how magenta specifically is like fake and our brain just can't process it, so we see it.
Well, so there's a
I'll
lot
link
of there's
it
a
in the description.
I would love it. If you're going the Foucault route, like Foucault's
I don't
want to like,
go
gotta
Michel Foucault's route on anything.
But here's the thing. Just generally, like, we try and categorize this spectrum into boxes, but in reality, it is just all culturally made up. Happy Pride Month, everybody.
Happy Pride
Bam.
Month. We did it.
Yeah, but I'm so happy this little snag came up because... So there's like a million different colors for each different color. We actually used to not have a color for orange. We used to have the like fruit came first.
Right.
We thought that orange was red, which is why we call redheads redheads redheads, despite their hair clearly being closer to like orangey.
Orange, yeah.
Because we didn't have a word for what they were. And then we made a word because we're like, those are two different colors.
Huh.
Yeah, we just make shit up all the time.
I bet that pissed off a bunch of colorblind people who are like,
oh, I'm sure it did.
Oh, excuse me, what the fuck?
But that's the thing. Like, what we decide as a culture is true is just like not the law of the goddamn universe.
It takes a village to fake a whole culture.
But want to know what is the law of the goddamn universe?
What?
Gender is binary, and women are always pink, and boys are always blue.
Women are pink. Like Sharpay and Ryan Evans. Sometimes.
Yeah.
They're not always perfectly color-coded, but they are a lot of the time.
This, like, specific, you know, this specific trope is really extra used in Western animation specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's in Rick and Morty, it's in fucking Hey Arnold, it's in the regular show, it's in, like, any time you think of a cartoon, chances are it's gonna be color-coded in pretty deliberate ways.
This also gets used with blue and red, too. It's not always just strictly blue and pink.
Right, right.
And even within that, the colors code more sometimes than the gender of the characters. Like, if you look at Treasure Planet, Captain Amelia wears a blue jacket while Dr. Doppler wears a red jacket. Because of the two of them, they are characterized with him being the more feminine. Down to the fact that he technically carried their children to term.
So yeah.
I just slipped that last thing in there, hoping you wouldn't notice. But
see,
that did
know.
Happen.
I don't know.
That's not a joke.
Well, there we go. Alien?
Yeah. I mean, they're like space dogs and cats, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Gravity Falls is a prime example of this.
Oh, yes.
Dipper is blue, and Mabel has a bunch of pink.
Yeah. And also, like, she is always in bright, sparkly colors, and he is wearing the exact same outfit every day.
Yeah.
But they also never, I feel like watching the show, they never make Mabel's interests out to be, like, less than his. Like, usually her ever-changing, brightly colored stuff is way more helpful.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
That's something that I love the way that Mabel's character is done. I mean, I think that femininity can be performed in a lot of different ways and is usually thought of as less than, but I like the kind of respect that this, at least this very traditional Western femininity is, like, still respected in the show.
Yes, 100%.
And then Bill Cipher comes in and is yellow. Yellow is the color that usually throws off the other colors, you know what I mean?
Well, 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 well. Hiya, Sixer!
Well, 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 well. Oh, oh, oh. Anyway, what's the next trope? Oh, wait, real quick. Fuck, marry, kill, Grunkle Stan, Grunkle Ford, Bill Cipher. We're gonna make this quick.
Oh, shit. Okay. Can you specify specifically which versions of Grunkle Stan and Grunkle Ford?
Nope. You're just... them.
You're just
throughout time.
You're just leaving this. Okay.
Yeah, I'm leaving this open-ended, which means young, old, and then everywhere in between. And also Bill Cipher is Bill Cipher 3D, 2D. Sorry, human Bill Cipher is not canonical,
Bill Cipher. And we are sticking with the rule of if you want to kill them, you actually have to make the attempt, yes?
Yeah, well, not really so much of, like, can you kill them or can't you kill them,
but would
like,
you, make the
you
attempt?
Have to, like, do it with your hands, which means, like, you feel a little bit bad about it if you're, like, killing
you kill
off...
me?
Yeah, right, right. Well...
it's pronounced Will.
That's a discussion. Oh. Answer the question, Diggs. Are you afraid?
I'm... Okay, so
are
here's...
Are you afraid of yourself?
No, here... I'm thinking on these terms. Here's where I'm at. I only find... Sometimes Grunkle Stan is deeply erotic. Like the scene where he is punching the pterodactyl, or the scene where he's fighting the zombies, or his little outfit that he wears when he's going on that game show. I like that.
Yeah.
And Grunkle Ford's interests align a little bit more with mine. But he and I are both, I think we're too distant to be compatible. We both need to be the more distant one in a relationship, the more engrossed in our work and our stuff. And I feel we would be waiting for the other one to come interrupt to the point that we just wouldn't talk to each other, even though I generally find him more attractive than Stan. And then Bill, I don't think he'd be down with just like a casual fling because, you know, deals and whatnot. He likes contracts and long-term agreements to things. So I think I would fuck Ford because I think we could manage it. I would marry Stan and I would enjoy the erotic dramatic attempt of killing Bill.
Oh, okay.
But I would like him to officiate my wedding.
Okay.
And you?
Unfortunately, I'm killing Grunkle Stan. I'm just not very attracted to masculinity, I think.
That's fair.
And so I think
he'd be good to me.
I feel like his hygiene is also something that would get in the way.
I could fix him.
I think of all people you could, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm killing Grunkle Stan. I think I would have to fuck Bill Cipher one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mary Ford. I think we would go on cool adventures.
Excellent.
And I want somebody telling me that I did a good job.
Yeah, yeah, that would be nice. Well, you know, as you go on adventures, Bill's gonna show up and be like, hey, remember that one time?
Oh no.
Hey, Tominelli!
Yeah, well...
My ex-wife still misses me, but her aim is getting better!
All right, do we have time for, like, one more?
I think we can... I think we can do one more.
Oh,
choose.
Wait, who is, you know...
I think I'm
it's
more...
It's both of us.
It's both of us, but I think I'm more bound to gender than you.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
Yeah. I dress like a fucking middle school boy sometimes, so...
Is your color palette closer to blue or red? Mine's almost exclusively red. I don't like blue as a color.
Mine's almost... I hate blue. Mine's almost exclusively, like, green.
Oh, well, so there we go. There we fucking go. Like Cosmo and Wanda, we are.
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, they're another example.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, choose the one about getting stuck or the one about moms.
Oh, getting stuck, I guess.
Cool. Stuck in a chimney. Okay, so this is basically sometimes a character will try and get into a building through the chimney, or try and get out, or they fall, or they get wedged in it, like whatever it happens to be, they get stuck in a chimney.
all sorts of zany happenstances.
Yeah.
There's the whole like ghost story of a man who tried to surprise his family on Christmas,
yes,
and then was gonna come down the chimney, but then got stuck and then died in the chimney.
Yeah.
Which is always a good time.
Uh-oh, stepbrother, I'm stuck.
Oh, no.
The Grinch almost gets stuck.
Oh, that's
his
so...
His little booty
you're
gets
right.
stuck.
Oh, the Grinch is thick.
He is
Ooh.
Thick. It happens in Gremlins when the dad tries to go down the chimney and falls and breaks his neck.
Oh,
and then he
no.
starts rotting,
oh,
and they open
no.
it up and find it.
That is so bad. That is so bad.
Gremlins is a coming-of-age horror movie, and we all need to think about it more.
I grew up with a fireplace. The only thing getting stuck in our chimney were stink bugs all the time.
Ugh.
They would just drop out, onto the ground and then fly around. It sucked. It sucked shit.
I'm reading a real-life example of this trope, which is, I'm just going to read it verbatim from TV Tropes. This happened
Ooh.
Frequently to chimney sweeps in Victorian London.
The
job required a sweep, usually a small boy as young as 6, to crawl through the chimney, dislodging soot as he went. The chimney flues had many twists and turns where a boy could get stuck, sometimes smothering to death. This was alarmingly commonplace
no.
until child labor laws were finally passed in 1875.
No! All right, Gary, you're up. Go down.
But I don't want to clean the chimney today, Mummy.
But I don't want to clean the chimney. Please don't make me go down there.
I'd rather be the boy that helps Scrooge with his turkey on Christmas.
Well,
let me be the bobbin boy. I don't need all my fingers. I just want to breathe, Mummy.
it's the bit of the Mary Poppins chimney sweep dance that they don't sing about. It's the mist verse.
Yeah.
That is them being just like, chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy.
Chim-chim-chiminy, yeah.
Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-chiminy. We didn't survive past our puberty.
In the new Mary Poppins, they're doing their little triple little light fantastic business, and one of them just falls, and you just hear banging and screaming. While Lin-Manuel Miranda proceeds to, like, do dances with Emily Blunt. They're just like,
he keeps dancing.
Triple light fantastic.
That's how Mary Poppins quickly becomes a horror film. Even more terrifying than it already
Except
is.
Except for the fact that she's literally like a deal-making chaos demon already.
I feel like this last little tidbit about children getting stuck in the chimney. See, I was gonna say between the two of us, it's me, but honestly, I think that it might be you.
I'm more likely to climb into the chimney in the first place.
You do like Victorian street urchin lad real well.
I, yeah. Yes, it's my calling in life. I also, there are at least 9 pictures on my phone right now of me climbing into chimneys in, like, ruins in England.
Yeah, you for sure, you like them tight spaces.
I love tight spaces, and I love climbing in things to see if I'll fit. Did I tell you?
Yeah.
Recently, sort of recently, it was like before Christmas, I recently got to experience what it was like to get buried alive.
Whoa, so there we fucking go.
Yeah, and honestly, I'd do it again.
Yeah, did you feel comforted in like a Magnus Archives, the buried kind of way?
I did. I felt okay. Safe. It really puts the mort safe and memento mort safe.
Hell yeah. the safe and memento mort
safe.
Yeah,
being under a grate, buried alive. Yeah, safe so one can dig me up and take my bones. Yeah, it was great.
I'll find a way in. I mean, somebody will find a way in.
If I end up buried in a grave, I swear to God.
I better come and get your bones.
Come get my bones.
Good.
I don't want to be buried in a grave, but I do want to get exhumed.
I can make that happen.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
I was going to say, I can find a way.
So I'm
your wish is my command.
Uh-oh.
I mean,
sit down at my table, put your mind at ease. If you relax, it will enable me to do anything I please.
I can read.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Which is technically the theme song for the Tower of Terror.
Hey!
Which I'm assuming...
What a good spooky song.
Which I'm assuming, like, specifically the Vera Lynn version, which I'm assuming is why Disney was so easily able to just, like...
Oh, for sure. So this one is probably
yours. Yeah, this one's mine.
Yours.
And then you just find my rotting corpse in the chimney.
But how are we gonna send it to a body farm?
You'll have to catch it quick.
Okay, sounds good. Rotting happens fast, but I work faster.
Yeah. You also text me twice, and then when I don't respond, be like, well... He's definitely dead.
Well, he's super McFucking dead.
Yeah,
you are good about responding. Wow.
Yeah, I respond. Well, because I worry that people will think I'm dead or something is wrong.
That's fair. That's
because
true.
If I don't text my mom back, she assumes I've been, like, taken by the rats.
See, I go MIA for days on end sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Yeah, if you went missing, that would be such bad news because everyone would be like, she's fine.
She's fine. It's fine. You gotta catch hold of me. And honestly, it's a crucible for friendship if somebody can get a hold of my contact info.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then actually contact me and then have me actually respond.
Yeah, you're tricky.
Want to know what isn't tricky?
Tell me, Annalie.
Listening to Genre Blind and appreciating dolphins in the mist. Did, at any point during this podcast, did you stop appreciating dolphins?
Did you? They'll know.
They'll know.
If you did, you need to re-listen to it and think about dolphins the whole time.
The whole time. You can listen to it, like, double speed. It doesn't even matter. You just need
to
appreciate dolphins the whole time.
Tell your friends about this podcast and about the majesty of dolphins.
Please
don't forget to subscribe and follow the podcast, rate and review it. Email us if you have trope suggestions, media suggestions, anything along those lines, or just some cool facts about dolphins.
We love hearing those facts.
My favorite fact that we learned recently from Instagram is that dolphins play with their food before eating it, specifically octopi. Anyway, they're beautiful. Emily, pull it together.
Okay. Keep going.
So, don't forget to tell your friends, because dolphins do best in pods. Podcasts. That was a good joke brought
that was
to you
a good
by...
joke.
Pull
that
yourself
was a
together!
Good... That was a good joke, Diggs. It was a great time.
So don't forget to follow us at Genre Blind Podcast on Instagram, at AnnieDTArt, and at Memento Mortse. Do you have a dolphin fact you want to round us out with?
So even before you're born, dolphin can...
These dolphins are getting to be real drips.
And how? It's time we dish these codfish.
What do you propose we do?
Something...
Oh.